And this is a very challenging text. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man who can find. A faithful man who can find. Let's pray. Father, we just pray tonight that all of us, men and women alike, can be found faithful to you, Lord. We know that you're coming back, and one day you're going to call us home. You're going to rapture us out of this sinful world and take us to be by your side eternally. And Father, we want to be found faithful. We want to be found doing your will, doing your work, and especially being a faithful messenger, as we're going to hear tonight, proclaiming that important message of the gospel far and wide. Lord, help us to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see the word faithful. And when you think of just in general, faithfulness is a rare commodity indeed. Who will be faithful? We're going to look at a definition now. The dictionary defines this word as steadfast in affection or allegiance. Amen? Amen. If we're faithful to the Lord, then we're going to be steadfast in allegiance to Jesus Christ. But we also know that in the Bible we have faithful friends. Amen? We all understand what a faithful friend is, and we can relate to that. An affectionate friend, a friend that is loyal to us. But then it's firm in adherence to promises or observances of duty. We all make promises every day. And especially when we think of the Lord, and as He speaks to us in His Word, and we pray that back to the Lord to be faithful to Him. And so we ought to be true to our word. Amen. If we tell someone, I'll do this, and or I'll pray for you. You know, sometimes we always say, okay, you're sick, or we're on the phone, or we get a message, I'll pray for you. But do we pray? You know, we can always say, I'll pray for you, and then we forget about that. Let's be faithful to our promises. Especially, you think of at work, you know, someone, we need faithful employees. You know, faithfulness is when the boss isn't looking and you're still faithful doing your duties. But then another definition is true to the facts. True to the standard, true to the original, such as a faithful copy. And I'm here to proclaim tonight, we have a faithful, true to the original Bible here in the King James. It's over 400 years old, amen? That's amazing. And it's been used in Europe. It's been used during those times of revival, and then it was brought over to America. It's been used in the history of America. I saw something, and it was like a patriotic Bible, and I thought, man, I want that thing. I saw it. It was a leather bound Bible, and it had like the flag kind of into the leather here, like a flag. And then it had, within the Bible, had the King James text. And it had the Constitution and the founding documents of America. The only thing is, I never saw one. So I didn't know the quality or anything. And I hate to buy things off of Facebook. So I didn't buy it, but man, I thought, you know, that would be a nice Bible to have. But I think of I was very happy that they put the King James along those founding documents, because that was the Bible that shaped America. I know people are getting away from it, but do you know what's unique about this Bible is that it was translated at the peak of the English language. Since then, it's been going downhill. Could you imagine if we had translators today and the language of English they would be trying to write the Bible in? It would be almost blasphemy and assault on God, because it just becomes a paraphrase. It's not true to the original. So I'm thankful. There's a standard, true to the facts, a faithful copy. So are we understanding what faithful is? So what does the Bible say about faithfulness? I think to us, if we're going to be faithful, you're going to be a faithful church member, you're going to be a faithful Christian, then you need to be reliable. Amen. You need to be found in the place God planted you. You need to be steadfast. Obviously, it's not going to be easy. We're on a difficult path. And then you also need to be unwavering. True to the original copy. Amen. You know what? I like the message. What is a disciple of Jesus? The Bible. You go to the Gospels. You read about the call to disciples. And it says what a disciple is. Be true to the original. Amen. We want to be a true disciple of Jesus. Amen? Amen. But I want you to understand tonight, the reason we're faithful is because we serve a God who is faithful. Amen. The Bible speaks of God's faithfulness. Think of God. He's eternally reliable. He's eternally steadfast. He's unwavering. Because faithfulness is one of God's inherent attributes. You see, God doesn't have to work at being faithful. He is faithful. Amen. We have to work at it. Amen. But faithfulness is an essential part of who He is. Over and over we learn that when God says He will do something, He does it. Amen. Even the impossible. Amen. Nothing shall be impossible with God. And in fact, when He says something will happen, it happens. When you think of prophecy, when you think about, I like those prophecies about the birth of Jesus and Micah 5:2 and in Isaiah chapter 7 and 14 and so many prophecies, 750 years before Jesus was born, and it came to pass exactly how God said it would happen. God is faithful. Amen. So this is true for the past. You think of everything that God did. And then the present, what God's doing. And that helps us look to the future and say, God's going to do it again. Amen. In fact, in the book of 1 Kings, it says, according to all that He promised. Can you? And I hope you can say this tonight. According to all that He promised, God, speaking of God, there hath not failed one word of all His good promise. Amen. That's 1 Kings 8:56. If you want to mark that one down, because there hath not failed one word of all His good promise. Now let's go to our text, Proverbs 20. What does it say in the book of Proverbs? This is the book of wisdom. Says a lot about being faithful. First of all, a faithful man is reliable, as we've heard in our definition. Go to Proverbs 13:17. But he's reliable to the message. Proverbs 13:17. What does it say about being faithful? Faithful and reliable to the message. It says over here in the book of Proverbs 13:17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Amen. Think about someone who delivers the message and gives the right message, gives the best message there is. That's a faithful ambassador. And it says it brings health. Proverbs 14, just the next chapter over. A faithful witness will not lie. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. So a faithful witness tells the truth all the time. To be faithful is to speak the message, speak the truth. I know sometimes the truth hurts, but sometimes that pain is needed. God wants to use that in people's lives. I know He's used it in our lives. Amen. And then a faithful messenger in Proverbs 25 and 13 refreshes the soul. It's a refreshment when you hear that. Think about it. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. How many times did the Apostle Paul send out Timothy or Epaphroditus or these other men that labored with him? And he'd send them out, and then they'd go visit the churches, and then they'd come back. And I mean, they would tell Paul the faithfulness of the brethren. Yeah, they had to deliver sometimes some of the difficulties. But Paul said that they refreshed my soul often. Yes, sir. Yes. They encouraged him. But I want you to know, when we think about being a faithful ambassador, being a faithful witness, being a faithful messenger, we have the message of the gospel. Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus saves. Glory. That's a great message. In fact, the Bible tells us we are ambassadors for Christ, and we deliver the message of reconciliation. That means we can be forgiven. You can be right with God. You don't have to continue in your sin. You don't have to be opposing God in your life or rebelling against His Word or disobeying it. You can be reconciled back to God. That's the ministry of reconciliation. And that means you're a friend of God. We have a message of righteousness. You know what? God takes away your sin through Christ, and He gives you the righteousness. Think about that. You exchange these robes of dirty, corrupt sin, and then when you come to Christ, He takes all that off of you, and He puts on the robes of His Son, the righteousness of Jesus, and we're clothed. And in fact, you know the picture in the Bible, and when you read the book of Revelation, we're going to be clothed with white robes, the righteousness of the saints. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful message? And this is why we need to be reliable to the message. But we need to be reliable to other men. Proverbs 27 and 6. Verse 6. Proverbs 27, 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Think about, when you talk about faithful wounds, we're talking about faithful words. As I mentioned, a true friend, a faithful friend will be honest with us. Amen. Even a friend, when it says wounds here, may have to hurt us with the words in order to help us. Amen. It may hurt at first, but we know they love us and they're being faithful to God's Word and faithful to the truth. And that's what ultimately is going to help us. So a faithful friend will tell you what you need to hear, not what you always want to hear. Amen. Right. If a man is faithful to their word, then they will be faithful in other areas too. And that's why it's so important to be a reliable, faithful witness, a faithful friend. The opposite is true. If we're unfaithful in our words, we'll probably be unfaithful in other areas of our life. And then a faithful man is reliable in private matters. Should be the word in, sorry. Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You see, faithful, we're not talking about faithful in covering sin. That's not faithful, because you have to deal with people's sin. But it's faithful in covering personal matters. Could you imagine an unfaithful pastor who, in these areas, when he counsels with someone privately and then all of a sudden he's talking out there about all the personal matters of someone? How about prayer requests? Sometimes not all prayer requests can be made known public. Or heart matters. You see, a gossip will tell everything, even if it's personal and private. That's what gossiping is. But we need faithfulness here, that you have the ability to conceal the matter. If someone says, and you know it's not sin, okay? When it's sin, you say, hey, I got to deal with you on that. Or, you know, you're going to have to go tell that person if you have this bitterness and anger towards them. You got to get this right, or you better go talk to the pastor. I can't conceal this. You just better tell them outright. You can't conceal it. But if it's private matters and you're a faithful friend and you're a faithful witness and messenger, then you can conceal that matter. Yes, you can trust me with that. I'll pray for you, but I won't tell anyone. Or don't worry, this is going on, and I'll carry this burden, but I won't be telling. It's, you know, sometimes, and I like doing this, and it's true. It's your story to tell. It's not mine. You see? And when they want you to tell it, amen. But if they don't, say, okay, whenever you're ready. Or if that's what you want to do, amen. I'll leave it up to you. A faithful man is also humble. Proverbs 26. That was our original text, if you remember. We want to look at that original text. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? You see, he's kind of talking about the opposite of someone who always brags about what they're doing or what they did and always talking about their own personal agenda and personal aspirations. You can find so many people who always toot their own horn, right? They speak about their own activities, their own accomplishments. It doesn't matter. You know, it's amazing. And I hope you take this well, but you know, when someone comes to talk to you and they're sharing their burden or what they're going through, you don't have to one-up them and say, I understand what you're doing, but let me tell you what I'm going through. Just listen, you know what I mean? And that happens so often, you know, like, and I... Sometimes we just need to listen to someone else and just humble ourselves and not worry about sharing everything that we're suffering, but let them know we will pray for them and we will be a blessing to them. So most men proclaim their own goodness, do they not? But a faithful man proclaims God's goodness. You see, faithful is a man full of faith, a woman full of faith. You're full of faith. That means you depend wholly on God and you focus yourself on God, not yourself. That's what humility is. Your life is filled with thinking of God and thinking about His greatness and His goodness and everything we've been singing about tonight. Amen. Therefore, a faithful man is a humble man. And we know we're not going to go to the New Testament, but just think of Acts 6. And all the men they chose to be deacons there, remember? To serve the tables. And you look at the qualities of those men, they were faithful. They were full of faith. But yet, they were humble men. So, when you're humble and you're faithful, what are you doing? You're trusting God to supply your needs. And you will give to meet the needs of others. You know, a self-centered man, this type of the first part of the verse, the one who proclaims his own goodness is a self-centered man. So he's not going to be sacrificial towards giving to other people. So he trusts God to supply his needs. He trusts God to protect him. You know, we're going to be, if we're a faithful man and a faithful witness, it doesn't matter when we have to deliver the message. You think of like Josh, what he was saying this morning, and some of these men, and I know some of his friends probably wanted to hear that, but, you know, if we were on the internet, he couldn't go into detail about all these people. Because we don't want that to get back to them. That's why we don't publish personal information of, you know, when you're giving a report on a missions trip or telling about, you know, pray for this person, they're not saved or this and that. You know, it's it could be devastating if they trusted you or you they thought, well, they took that wrong. You could drive them away from God. So we have to be careful with those things. But I think of all those men over there. And it's an amazing thing that they're being faithful in countries where there is true persecution. And they have to trust God to protect them. Think about those men, he said, built that Bible college, and they did so many great works for God, and yet there's times they had to close up shop, move over here, close up shop, move over there, because they were being persecuted. They had to be on the run. You see, their focus is on God. They're faithful to God. And they're humble to God. And so if they were self-centered, then they would fear for their reputation. They would fear for their life. And they wouldn't faithfully deliver the message. You see, a faithful man trusts God to satisfy him. To bring real satisfaction to his life as he faithfully serves God. And listen, you're not going to get any better satisfaction as when you literally deliver the message and you're helpful to someone and they say, thank you. And, you know, they may kneel down and pray and receive Christ and you're alongside of them because you delivered the message and now God worked and you're going to be so joyful that God used you. So what is a self-centered man, not a humble man? He seeks after the pleasures of this world and this life to fulfill his satisfaction, not God. But last but not least, a faithful man is blessed.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Proverbs 28:20. Look at this promise. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Amen. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. And I want you to think of this principle. Brethren, faithfulness precedes blessings. You can't get the blessings of God on your life without being faithful. Blessings don't happen by accident. How many people want blessings without being faithful to God? But God doesn't work that way. Remember Psalm 1, we're not going to go there, but Psalm 1 talks about the blessed man. And the blessed man is a faithful man to the Word of God. He's faithful to witnessing and worshiping and being fruitful. Being separated from the world. Amen. Now God's going to try our faith. Not to break us, but to bless us. Again, all these verses are coming to my mind in the New Testament. But I'm going to resist that temptation to go there. We know that God tries our faith to be found faithful. See, God's going to test your faith. I think of those, and I've seen this, and we had a saying in Spanish, I'm trying to remember, but it's the idea is this, entra como cohete, sale como cohete. He enters like a rocket, and he leaves like a rocket. You know, you have people, they come in, whoa, bless God, praise God, and I'm doing this for God, I'm doing that for God, and I love God, I'm going to serve God. And then, the trial comes. You see, because you're not going to stand there and say how much you love God, how much you're going to serve God, how much you're going to, you know, do this and that for God without being tested. He's going to try your faith of what sort it is. And unfortunately, remember the parable of the sower? The parable of the sower. Many are offended by the word. They suffer persecution because of the word. And they leave. Entra como cohete, sale como cohete. What I mean by that is, yeah, you come in and you're making this blaze and blast and you're going to do everything for God. And those people are the same ones that go out the door as fast as they come in. Not a faithful man. Faithful is reliable. Steadfast. You see what I'm getting at? God wants your faith to be settled. God wants your faith to be tested. God wants your faith to be tried. Some of you, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this out. I think I will. Some of you read the book of Job recently. Job said this. Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. And that's so counter to the 1 Peter and chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, the trying of your faith. I mean, God is going to make our faith pure. God's going to test us to make our faith grow. God's going to test us to make sure we are in the faith. Truly in the faith. Amen. But you can't be blessed without being found faithful. And I believe, you know what? Those verses don't correspond. I'm sorry. I needed to erase them off. But this is the principle. That was from last week, by the way. Faithfulness promises blessings. Remember, God is faithful to His promises. So, if we are not blessed, what's it say here? A faithful man shall abound with blessings. That's a promise of God. So, if we're not abounding with blessings, God, it's not God's problem. It's not God's fault. It's our fault because we're not faithful. God cannot lie, the Bible tells us. His promises will be fulfilled in our lives if we are faithful. So let me conclude with this, these thoughts. The end times are quickly approaching. Maybe you didn't get this tonight. You know, there's always some good news with the bad, and that's what I like. Remember, some of these people were arrested for, believe it or not, Christians were arrested for not wearing a mask outdoors at church. They were arrested for not wearing a mask outdoors. You think that was persecution by the government. Now that town had to pay them $300,000 because, you know, justice is going to come around. So there's some good news, is there not? But then I told you, the United Church of Christ urges churches to help pregnant people. They don't call them pregnant women now. They're calling them pregnant people. That's another what they're saying. Get abortions. A church is now promoting abortions. A church that's supposed to know that God created us. We're made in the image of God. And you know what the Bible says? He knew us before we're in the womb. Before we're in the womb, He already knew us.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
You see, we're in the end times, folks. I can keep going on. And if you didn't get our newspaper, it's out there. Because I want you to read one section. A word of caution about the news. And you know what? I like that because I always try to, you know, we're not to follow every little thing on the internet or every conspiracy theory there is out there. But we need to understand that we're to understand the times and we're to draw close to Christ. We're not to fret ourselves because of evildoers. Amen. We're to seek first the kingdom of God. We're to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so I want you to understand, I read the news and I try to find out what's going on, but I try to make sure that I keep my heart right with God. Because sometimes some of this news I need to deliver. I need to understand it, what's going on, because I need to deliver a message. I need to warn you. I need to warn the church about what's going on. So, I don't know if I have to convince you tonight. The end times are fast approaching, meaning this world could be over as we know it. Because when Jesus comes back, I challenge you to read the book of Revelation. If you haven't done that, chapter 4, he says, come up hither. That's the rapture. And everything after that begins the tribulation, 7 years of tribulation. And all the judgments of God are poured out on the earth. And then after that, the Lord's going to come back and establish His kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. That's the book of Revelation. And after 1,000 years, the devil's going to be loose for a season. And can you imagine, even in 1,000 years, with Jesus Himself ruling and reigning on the earth, there still will be a bunch of devil worshipers and unbelievers that will follow the Antichrist to fight against Christ.
Yeah.
Isn't that the heart of man? You know, some people say, well, only if I lived in the first century and I saw all the miracles. Listen, Jesus performed miracles and these people didn't even believe them. They went about to kill him. So don't think. That's why he says, you know, we're blessed if we haven't seen him and we still believe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Luke 18, verse 8, just a warning now and a call about this message of faithfulness in Luke 18:8. What's it say? When Jesus comes back, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I wonder about that. Where are you at tonight in your faithfulness to the Lord, to the message, to the work of the ministry? Are we being faithful? When he comes back, is he going to find faith? What kind of faith is he going to find in your life, in my life? Remember the beginning of the lesson. The message tonight is a faithful man who can find. Will you answer that call? Will you seek God's wisdom? See, we're in the book of Proverbs. Can you just say, God, give me the wisdom. God, fill my mind, fill my heart with your word, with your wisdom, and work into me a faithful heart, a faithful thought of you, a faithful mind, faithfulness in my stand, faithfulness in my preaching, in my delivering of the message. Let me be faithful. Do you think God would answer that prayer? Amen. Because he's calling you to be faithful. He's challenging you to be faithful. He wants you to be faithful. Therefore, he will help you if you surrender to him. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening. We're going to have a word of prayer.